Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Well, I want to tell you that as a young child, I was often disciplined by my father. And I know that you find that very shocking that I would be, you know, so naughty that I needed discipline in, but I was on the odd occasion. And often in response to my father's discipline, I would say something along the lines of, "But Dad, it's not fair. No one else has to behave the way I have to behave." And his response to me would always be the same. "You, my son, are a cross, and therefore more is expected of you," calling on the family name that we have. Of course, you know what's coming. One day I was chatting to my son, you could call it chatting, I suppose, and his response to me was again, "But Dad, no one else has to behave the way I have to behave. None of my friends have to live the way that we live." And my response to him was, "But Jack, a higher standard is expected of you." Not because he happened to have the surname Cross, although that's probably in there somewhere, but because he called himself a follower of Jesus. He made his commitment to follow Jesus by that time. And we do have a different standard to live by, those of us who call Jesus Lord. And it's not fair, but it is the reality. Our God, our Savior, does call us to live to a different standard. That's true for me. It's true for you if you choose to follow Jesus as an apprentice or disciple. And it's true for anyone who seeks to grow in the knowledge of God. So without wishing to make you feel a bit squirmy in your pews, where are you with that? How are you doing living a life that's different? Now, if you can just remove the guilty bit that just washed over you as I said that, put that to one side for a moment. Be real with yourself. How, just in your own self there, how are you doing living a life that reflects the fact that you follow Jesus, if you do? Well, I think today we're going to find out more about that in these parables as we discover what Jesus says. We're going to discover that actually we're responsible for our own discipleship, that Jesus treats those who call him Lord differently to those who don't. And then we're also going to discover that Jesus does not abandon us in that. As we return to the Gospel of Matthew, we hear the first words say this. It says, "That same day, Jesus went out from the house." Whenever you read something like that in the Bible, you've got to reflect on what came before it. And I'm not sure how far back you would go for "that same day," but the way that what's been happening with the life of Jesus over the last few weeks is he's been teaching those who would listen to him about what it means to follow him, what it means to trust in God. And then that same day, the local church leaders have got the hump with him and decided to attack him. They attack him for feeding his disciples on the Sabbath. They attack him for healing someone on the Sabbath. Sorry, guys, you can't heal anyone on the Sabbath, all right? Might as well take the day off work, really, didn't you, really? They call him the devil because of his wisdom. They demand that he tells them where he's got all this teaching from. And on top of all of that, Jesus has a disagreement with his immediate family. So it's been a pretty rubbish day for him, really. And so he withdraws away from teaching those who do not yet follow him, perhaps you might call that evangelism, towards those who claim to follow him. You might call that teaching discipleship. And it's not just the 12 apostles he moves to. He moves to the greater congregation, as it were. And there are, in fact, we're told there are so many of them that he has to get into a boat to teach them, perhaps to be heard by them. So if you've ever been to Galilee, it's surrounded by hills and it sort of creates this natural amphitheater, and standing in a boat just offshore would make you be heard further. And then he tells these parables that we've heard. Now, I'm not going to break down every line of what Janice read, you'll be glad to hear, because Jesus himself does that doesn't he, in the reading. You can go home and read those again for yourself. The parable of the sower this week, and he'll break down further the parable of the weeds next week. But what is this overarching message that God has been speaking to me about this week? It's the first time that we see Jesus use parables, but it was a common technique for rabbis of his time. So why does Jesus choose now to start using parables? And that's, of course, the question that the disciples ask. Why do you speak to the people in parables, they say? Jesus says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And he reminds them, of course, that that comes from the old scriptures in Isaiah. But what does it really mean? Well, to cut a long story short, to paraphrase what my father would say to me and to quote Jesus from another gospel, it means this. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Contrary to what popular fiction might suggest, that wasn't Spider-Man, that was Jesus in Luke. You see, everyone gets to hear the same message. Everyone gets the same invitation. Everyone is loved by God. Everyone gets the same choice. We get to make our own choices. You got one of two choices, really. You can choose to say, I'm not sure who you say you are. Prove to me that you are my Savior, as the Pharisees did. That's one choice. And Jesus says to anyone who chooses that, that's fine. That's your choice. It does have consequences, of course, but it's your choice. And his expectations of how they then live their life is based upon that fact. They have chosen not to follow him. Actually, if you read the Gospels, and I'd encourage you to do that, of course, he's amazingly gracious to those who do not follow him. He's very forgiven. He's sad, of course, that they choose not to, but there's a great deal of grace in what he says and does to those who do not follow him. And of course, the other choice is to say, I will follow you. And his expectations of how we who say he is our Lord and how we live our life are based upon that decision. He might say something along the lines of, you, my son, my daughter, you are a child of the cross. And because of that, much is expected of you. We saw that in our reading from Exodus. You see, God has always been consistent in this. This is not new. He's always expected much of those who follow him. And it is possible, we discovered in Exodus, to anger or to displease our God. Which is why Jesus reveals what it is to follow him through parables. He guides us. He doesn't abandon us. When he was on the earth, he used those parables. And he said elsewhere that when he went to his Father, when he ascended into heaven, he would send his Holy Spirit, a helper. John reflects this. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Jesus says, if you choose to have life to the full, if you choose to follow me, I won't abandon you. I will send the Holy Spirit. That is the overarching message. We are responsible for our own discipleship. So I wonder where you are with that. Are you in the position where you're saying, prove to me that you are my Savior? Maybe you relate to the seed that hears the message but dies away unnourished and unconvinced. Perhaps then today is the day when you hear that Jesus truly loves you and you take that step of faith. Or have you already taken that step of faith? But at times, let's be real, it just seems so very hard to live a life that honours Jesus. Are you in danger of springing up as that seed did, but then dying away Perhaps today is the day that you receive that helper, the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you are nourished and feel blessed and are on fire for Jesus. Everything's going great and you're looking to see where you can yield 100 times more what God has for you. Maybe that's where you are today. I wonder which of those three relates to you guys. I'm sure it's different for many of us. Are you saying, prove to me you love me, or nourish me in your spirit, or guide me to a fruitful life? I'm not going to make you put your hand up to any one of those things. I'm not going to make you come up here and stand in the front. But I do want you to take some time and reflect. Where are you? Are you still not convinced? Are you saying, prove to me you love me? Or are you saying, I've been following you for some time, Jesus, but it's just so hard at times. Send your Holy Spirit. Or are you just saying, show me what next? I'm up for it. Let's give it a crack. I'm going to ask Carol to play a hymn for us just for us to reflect on that for a moment. And for you to commune with your God as you pray to him about that.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.